As I'm speaking, I'm talking about a simple lesson tonight. But I hear this expression all the time about various things, even about car advertisements and other things. Think outside the box. Everywhere you look, somebody's saying, think outside the box. And that can be very dangerous for Christians, so we want to understand what it means to think inside the box. First of all, there is a box, and that box is the Bible. And as we think about people thinking outside the box, we recognize that that's what's happened and why denominationalism prevails, because people are thinking outside the Bible. They have their own ideas, they have their own opinions, their own traditions, and they use those instead of what they should be. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 is one of those passages that I consider foundational verses in the sense that it leaves us a firm foundation to follow. Talking about those who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now, of course, this was in the Old Testament, speaking about Moses and the Israelite people. But Moses understood that he was not supposed to think outside the box. What God revealed, that and nothing more, was to be followed and to be obeyed, and it was God's will, and it was perfect. And once you have an understanding of that concept, the perfect will of God, that everything that God says is exactly as it ought to be, and it's for our good, then why would we try to improve it? Well, so many people have the idea that they've got to speak outside the box, and got to say other things. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Well, the idea of the form of doctrine, the word form is tupos, or from which we get the type. The representation or pattern of anything, the metaphor is that of a cast or frame into which molten material is poured so as to take its shape. The gospel is the mold, and those who are obedient to its teaching become conformed to Christ, whom it represents. And that's Vine's understanding of that particular word. And I see the value of it. The idea is that we become more Christ-like. Well, I've read so many preachers who say that we need to know more about the grace of God. And so they go to secular writers like Max Lucado and others, and they're going to be talking about what grace means to them. But they don't have a real understanding of what grace is. And what I advise such people to do is go to the Apostle Paul and let him teach you about grace. He understands about the grace of God because he was the recipient of it. And by the grace of God, he became an apostle and a teacher so that he could tell us about the grace of God. And I see people all the time. In fact, I read after a church in Australia, and they were commending a book written by a Seventh-day Adventist. And I thought, now just what exactly can a Seventh-day Adventist teach us that will help us be better Christians? Because I've studied with these people, and they try to say that we're sinful to meet on Sunday. We ought to be keeping the Sabbath. But then I read in the book of Galatians that if I keep one part of the law, I'm bound to keep all the law. And it says that if I keep the law, I fall from grace. So you see all these things going on, and people are really thinking outside the box. They're not really thinking about what's in the Bible. And we've had so many lessons about this. I say this is a simple lesson and something I think you're all in agreement with. But we run across people all the time that say we've got to think outside the box. Many, many years ago, I had a discussion with a young man who was a musician. And he was of the opinion that God had called him through his instrumental music to serve him to the Lord. And he wouldn't obey the gospel because we wouldn't allow instrumental music in the worship. I tried to show him what the Bible said, but he was thinking outside the box. He said, I've got a gift, and I want to give that to God, and I'm going to worship a place where I can give this to God. Well, you see, God is not obligated to receive our ideas any more than the Israelites were obligated to receive Baal and burn their babies in the fire. When you start thinking outside the box, you get into trouble, so far as God is concerned. Now, I recognize in politics and many things, there is a way of improving things. Most of us have our ideas about how to improve politics and improve houses and improve various things that we buy. We'd like to improve some of those things. Well, they're made by men, and so they sometimes need improvement. But when you have a perfect system revealed, and I oftentimes refer to the scheme of redemption like I did this morning, when it comes to the fact that you had God revealing the means by which he was going to defeat Satan and save our souls. It's perfect, and I can't add to it or change it or take away from it because it's so right. And so we are to obey from the heart that form of doctrine that will make us Christ-like and never add to it or take away from it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, this one of the passages that I truly love about the church. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and safe, faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, there was a time when I was younger, I believed you could do that in every church of Christ. You could go from city to city, and you didn't have to worry about finding a sound church because all the churches believed the same things. But gradually through the years, you had various ideas and doctrines incorporated, like premillennialism, and it started back in the 40s, the church support of colleges and institutionalism and those things. And now you have to really wonder, is a church really sound before you go and place membership with it? And this tells us that I should be able to go to any church in Mansfield and hear the same thing being taught. But you know and I know I couldn't do that, and no one would allow me to do that in denominational churches. So the problem is that the people are not willing to abide by the box or by the Bible. And the Bible says of itself that we must stay in the box or in the Bible. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So why would I want to be in bondage again? Why would I want to improve on a way that sets me free? And I recognize the understanding. It's a deep understanding, and it's something that thrills me to understand that my sins have been forgiven. Don't you feel that way, that you're free from sin? That in the past we've carried around a burden of sin, but now that I'm free from that, I don't have to carry it around anymore, and I am a forgiven person. And so we have this because of what the Bible says, and I want to abide in the words of Christ. Now, I love the words of Moses. You go back and read the Old Testament, it talks a lot about the glory of God. You read in Ezekiel and Daniel about the throne of God, and the throne of God is so high and spiritual you can hardly conceive of what it really is. But those who, like Daniel, would be able to understand and by revelation talk about the kingdom of God or the throne of God and how wonderful it is, encourages us to someday want to see that. You realize that someday we're going to see the very God of heaven on his throne, and that we're going to see Jesus Christ, person to person, and he's going to talk to us. He's going to tell us, come on in. And you're going to see all these things that the Bible has instructed us about God. I often think, and I'm so thankful, that our God is different from the gods of the Romans and Greeks. I've read about these gods and their myths about these gods, and some of them are hateful, and some are warlike, and some are vengeful, and some are lewd and lascivious. And you read these about those gods, and you wouldn't want to be in a worship of those gods at all. But then you read in the Old Testament and the New about who God is. And I'm so thankful his character is the way that it is. He loves truth. He loves righteousness. He loves faithful people who will come to him and abide in his word. And this is exactly what we want to do. Paul understood all of this when he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." I've read a number of papers, books, and things that have made fun of C-E-N-I. C-E-N-I. Well, what in the world is that? Well, that's an abbreviation of how you understand the Bible. By commands, by examples, and by necessary inferences. And that's the way you really understand the Bible. You have to understand that there are commands, some that we're not to obey, some that tell us not to do some things, and some tell us that we have to do some things, and all you have to do is to follow the command. Then there are examples of the Apostle Paul, such as the Lord's Supper, and us being willing to take the Lord's Supper, as the Apostle Paul proclaimed in the book of Corinthians chapter 11. And then the necessary inferences are divine implications, is a better word for that. But when you hear these people making fun of C-E-N-I, they are making fun of the means by which you understand the Bible. And so they've done away with commands, they've done away with examples, and they've done away with necessary inferences. And they say, just follow love. Whatever love tells you to do. And that's all you have to do. Just love one another and love God. It doesn't matter what doctrine you believe. And as these things are being taught, there's so many people willing to think outside the box, outside the Bible about these things. That, in fact, the argument has been made that Alexander and Thomas Campbell was the father, Alexander was the son, that they invented commands, examples, and necessary inferences. That was a restoration invention, and that's why they call us Campbellites, because we're following Campbell. But you know, and I know, that I don't believe anything because the Campbells taught it. I can look in the Bible for myself, and I find commandments. We looked at the Lord's Supper this morning. Jesus said, "This do in memory of me." That's a command. Now, Thomas Campbell didn't invent that. And then you read about the fact that it was in the on the first day of the week. And that's an example because the Apostle Paul was present when they took the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. That's an example. And Paul said here, follow me. So I know that I'm safe when I'm doing what the apostles were doing in obedience to Christ. Now the necessary inference is the fact that we have to recognize that the first day of the week is every week. Well, why do we do that? Because in Exodus, when the Ten Commandments are given, the commandment was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Didn't say every Sabbath day, but when you see the Old Testament references to those things, anybody that worked manually on the Sabbath day were breaking the law. It was every Sabbath day. And a similar expression is found when we worship God on the first day of the week. Which first day? Well, there's one every week. And so we're to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and that's what we do. Now, Campbell didn't invent that. And when people slur against Campbell, he was just a man, and he did a lot of great good, but Alexander Campbell ended up his life implementing this missionary society and added something to the church that he shouldn't have added to the church. And so Alexander Campbell was just a man like anybody else and made his mistakes. I'm not a Campbellite. I'm a Christian. And so when we start saying, stay in the box, and people make fun of that, and you believe me when I'm saying that the majority of the larger churches of Christ today have done away with C-E-N-I. And they're thinking outside the box. Just like Brother Terry said this morning in class, that there are many of them are putting in the instrumental music again. Some are putting women in public service by serving the Lord's table and various things of that nature. They're thinking outside the box. So 2 Timothy 1:13, another of those passages that's so clear, it just cannot be gainsaid. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern. Every woman here, I'm sure, that's done any sewing understands about a pattern. But the pattern applies to men as they work in the industry, and they understand that they're going to be making things after a certain order or a certain pattern. And then the owners are not going to be happy if you decide on your own to think outside the box and add something else to it. And here's a fundamental thing about the Lord's church, that we do not think outside the box. In fact, by going forward, we go backward. Because the Testament says to return to the old paths. What are the old paths? The service to God. And I'm telling you, there is such a thrill to do something in the way that you know God approves. Nobody can take that away from us. Yes, commands belong to us. Examples belong to us. Necessary inferences or divine implications refer to us. They belong to us. That's what makes us what we are. I look back at the Old Testament. You have the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And that's what made Israel what Israel was. That gave them their identity as a people of God. Now you come to the New Testament. We have the words and doctrines of Christ. That's what makes us what we are. And yes, we're different. We're different from denominations because we don't think outside the box, but we have the Bible to follow and say. So in 2 John 9, and here's something that every Christian ought to memorize and keep it in your mind as you see things being done that are not in the Bible. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And so we tell people all the time, If you see us doing something that's not in the Bible, tell us about it. We'll quit it. And if you find us not doing something that's in the Bible that we ought to do, tell us about it. We'll start it. And I'm human. I might be mistaken about something, but I know the Bible's perfect. And I'm going to say, this is a very simple lesson, but it's so profound when you think about what's happening all around us as people think outside the box. Well, God is serious about us, and many, many times you've heard the story of Nadab and Abihu. They were thinking outside the box. What was the box? What was the Bible admonition? There shall be a continual fire on the altar in worship to God. Anytime you need fire for incense burning or anything else, you go to that altar and you get your fire at the altar. And they'd like something else. I mean, they used fire. It got done what they wanted to do, except it was outside the box. It wasn't what God wanted them to do. They disobeyed and they suffered because of it. And you find examples all through the Bible. Many people have thought God was too cruel when it came to Uzzah and the ark. In 1 Chronicles 13 and chapter 15 as well. And the point was that all as well-intentioned as Uzzah was, and I certainly grant him that he was well-intentioned, they were taking the Ark of the Covenant out of captivity into Jerusalem, and it was on the ox cart. It was a new one. But the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah thought that the Ark was going to fall. And he didn't want that. But he touched the Ark, and that was against what God said. Only priests were to touch the ark. Later, David said, I know now what we did wrong. We did not follow the proper order. The order in the Bible was that there were going to be two staves through the rings on the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders on the staves. So David said, we did wrong. And Uzzah suffered because they didn't do it after the order. After the order means what? In the box, in the Bible. There's a way to do things that's right. One of the old restoration preachers was a man named Benjamin Franklin. Not the statesman, but another Benjamin Franklin. He had a book of sermons that's been published, and I've had a copy of that. He had one sermon that I've always loved. The way that is right and cannot be wrong. Isn't that thoughtful? The way that is right and never will be wrong, just follow the box. Read your Bible, understand what the Bible says, and do it. And there's the satisfaction we have of pleasing God. And there's so many examples of when the people in the time of Judges and in the Kings, they didn't do that. But here are examples of people who did something outside the box. Then King Uzziah. And we won't linger long on that. These are things that we understand that were done that were wrong. And they didn't follow the will of God in that. And so some of God's divine patterns, that is, the box that we follow, is Matthew 19, 3 through 6, talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And when I was going out to the Northwest and hold sermons in Washington State, I knew ahead of time that this had to be one of the subjects that you preached on. And Brother Ron Halbrook has a, you remember what the wheel is on television? They turn the wheel. Well, he drew a wheel and he said, if you turn the wheel, you'll find a different way to put away your wife if you want to. And of course, in the Old Testament, turn the wheel and she baked the bread wrong. So, get a divorce. And then turn the wheel and you find a younger woman. Get a divorce. Turn the wheel and you get another reason. And he used that extensively out in the Northwest. So when I went out there, I was more prepared for that. I thought, how can I sum it up so everybody can understand it and it'll answer every argument? And this was my approach. In Matthew 19, as well as back in the book of Genesis, one man, one woman, for life, with one exception. And that answers every one of those. Brother Halbrook called them rabbit trails. People go off on tandems like a rabbit going through the brush. And they'll find a reason if they want to. And here was one of the things that they practice out in the Northwest. Malachi says that God hates divorce, which is true. God hates divorce. But then they say, well, if you divorce someone, and you divorce someone, you displease God, and you repent for divorce. But God loves marriage. So if you get a divorce for whatever reason, not for the right reason, adultery, fornication, just repent of getting a divorce and then find somebody to remarry because God loves marriage. And you find people in the third and fourth marriage that's in the church and they've just done what they wanted to do. And every time they think outside the box. Oh, I'm going to repent because I divorced my wife without cause. I shouldn't have done that. So I'm sorry, I'm going to repent. Now who's going to marry me next? And you'll find them practicing that in the churches out in the Northwest. And it's so embedded. Bobby Holmes went out there. He bought a motor home and traveled and went up through the Northwest. And it was amazing what he found. And he was preaching everywhere he went on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And they said, they all got mad at him. All those preachers out there got mad at him and said, we've got an agreement among us that we leave that alone. We don't preach on those subjects because it makes people mad. And that was what they did. They just didn't preach on it in those churches. And Bobby did. And he converted some. But he made a lot of enemies. That at the judgment day, they're going to wish they'd listened to Bobby Holmes. By the way, this past week was the 1 year anniversary of Bobby's death. I got a message from India. The brethren who loved Bobby so much in India, they held a memorial service for Bobby Holmes in India this last week. He made such an impact over there. He did so much good over there. And he always thought within the box. And I'd just like for you to know that people over in India remember him with so much love because he taught them so very much. But marriage is for life. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and God establishes one gender. We're living in a time when we're having political leaders that don't even know which bathroom to use. Can you imagine? Can you imagine anybody that dumb? And what they're saying now is that you don't tell a child if they're boy or girl until they choose for themselves. And you think, we just can't have that much stupidity. But I found out something. You can't really cure stupidity. We've tried duct tape. We've tried elephant glue. We've tried everything else. And people just get more and more stupid because they're thinking outside the box. Our government has been thinking outside the box. And the end result is that people are so confused in America. I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. I've got to figure that one out. And I heard one brother on internet said, well, I think I'm a vegetable. So I'll just be a vegetable today. But you see, it has practical disadvantages to think outside the box. Target store has said that men who think they're women can go into the woman's bathroom. And they have proven that men who claim transgender have been taking pictures of girls in the bathrooms. You see, there's not only a biblical direction that we follow, but a practical direction. When you leave the Bible, you leave practicality behind. And so the application of this idea of transgenderism is so ridiculous that you have grown men and grown women who are having surgery to change their gender. And I think the best thing to do is just cut the head off and be done with it. You solve that problem. So anyway, that's my opinion about things. Anyway, God's divine pattern is about the church. Jesus is the head of the church. I'm not, no other man is. Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The leadership of the church is given to us in the Bible. Men, 1 Corinthians 14, are to be over the women. And 1 Timothy 2 also speaks about the subjection of women. And I always put in a disclaimer here. It doesn't have anything to do with the value of women. It has to do with their place of service. Their place of service. And they're just as valuable to God as men are. But you have that God has appointed a leadership. And the Episcopal Church has women priests, women bishops, and all of those things that go with that outside the box. In our worship, John 4, to worship in spirit and in truth, we have singing and praying and teaching and giving of our contribution and the Lord's Supper. And when you do that, you've learned everything the Bible says about our worship to God. Though some things are to be done in an assembly and some things can be done privately. You can sing at home, you can pray at home, and all those various things. As far as giving is concerned, you can help those in the world who are in need because as an individual, you're thoughtful about those. And the emphasis about the church, the book of Romans, again chapter 14 and verse 17. I'll get there in just a moment. In verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we've had discussions with people right here in this building about building church buildings with kitchens and fellowship halls. And one of the brethren made this argument. He said it's okay to have Church of Christ fishing ponds. And the answer for that was, you know, the Lord said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That was his answer. And if you've ever heard of a non sequitur, that was one of them. It doesn't follow. That doesn't make any sense at all. And he says, well, when we go fishing, the church buys the bait. So what are you going to do with someone like that? They were intent that we're going to have a kitchen and we're going to have a fellowship hall and we're going to have a family each week cook enough so that when we go on Sunday and we have lunch as the church and we have the fellowship hall, there's enough food left over to take our lunch on Monday. And to them that was so important they wouldn't even think about forgetting the fellowship hall and eating and drinking. And Paul clearly says that eating and drinking is not the teaching of the Lord. And then in membership in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, once the one had obeyed the gospel of Christ, the Lord added them to the church. Not the local church, but added to the Lord's church. And Hebrews 12:28 speaks of all those enrolled in heaven. And that's where God adds our name. And so some of God's divine patterns that you find in the Bible about belief in Jesus Christ, John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Repent of our sins. In the great city of Athens, the Apostle Paul taught repentance because God has appointed the day in which He's going to judge the world. Romans 10 says confession is with the mouth. You confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Mark 16, Matthew 28, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, all of these say that we're to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then we remain faithful, as those in the book of Hebrews did, in chapter 10 and chapter 11. And basically, I can do that. Basically, you can do that. And that's what we do as thinking inside the box. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, every once in a while I'll remember and be so thankful, I don't have to uphold the Methodist Creed. I don't have to uphold the Catholic Catechism. I don't have to uphold the Baptist manual of anything that they believe and teach. I'm free to teach the Bible. And every once in a while it'll hit me again what an honor and a privilege it is that I'm free from all those things. I don't have to answer to a committee. I don't have to answer to a synod or any things of that nature. Just preach the word and that'll please God. And so we're going to stay, brethren, in the box. We're going to stay in the Bible. And God will be pleased with us doing that. If...